Welcome back to the Anglo-Omani Society podcast. Today I'm excited to welcome Mu'ammar Al-Hasni. Mu'ammar is Managing Director at Mu'ammar Design and Engineering Consultancy. After graduating from Sultan School, Mu'ammar earned degrees in Mechanical and Construction Engineering before working in his current role. His company has been behind the development of amazing projects that span private, commercial and civil construction. In this podcast, we speak about his career, the incredible projects his company works on, and Oman's unique approach to architecture and engineering in the Gulf. We really hope you enjoy this episode.
Well, thank you so much, Mu'ammar, for joining me on the Anglo-Omani Society podcast. I was wondering, to begin with, could you tell our listeners a bit about your background and your current work?
Thank you very much for having me. So my background, graduated from Sultan School. I'm a Sultan School alumni in Oman. It's one of the very first bilingual schools in Oman. Went to Australia, studied mechanical engineering there, then continued my studies in civil engineering here as well in Oman, the Caledonian College. Joined the family business back in 2007. But before that, I used to come over here and do, summer jobs, or some, you work during summer instead of traveling. So that's my life in a nutshell. Company in general, as I mentioned before, it's a family business founded in 1980. My own dad, Alistair Nassani, he founded the company, and it was one of the very first Omani-owned consultancy firms in Oman. And of course, he passed, and my mother took over, and now I took over, and hopefully for future generations.
Well, hopefully. That sounds incredible. And it's sort of preempted my next question is, did you always want to work in this field? But if it's the family business, was it what you wanted to do?
To be honest, I don't know if it was something I wanted to do, or is it was just something natural coming and working here. Just growing up, it was back then, it was blueprints, A1, the smell of ammonia, and it was very messy. I think I just grew into this business. Coming here since I was a child, so it just made sense for me to come here. And now, do I enjoy it? I love it. I love every single bit of it, to be honest. I love the challenges. I love the success of what we get from this business. So, yeah.
And do you draw a lot of inspiration from those early days and the example provided by your family?
Oh, yes, for sure. My position in the company at the moment, obviously, I have to go back and forth on how they used to deal and work with different type of projects. I wouldn't say it's typical projects, but... The way you go back and look at different old contracts, the way it was written, or the way they came up with different solutions for different issues at site, and you try to mend those ideas today. So obviously it's not going to be the same, but they're very related to one another. They're very related, and if it wasn't for that, I'll definitely be having a lot of difficulties at the moment. But thankfully, I was very fortunate to work in this company, and we have a very good track record, and we have a good backlog. So I can always refer back to previous projects and relate to what they had there and how I can implement it here and do it better as well. So I think that's how I work around it.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And you said the company was founded in 1980. Is that correct?
Yes. Correct.
So how much has it grown since then? So how large is the company now, and has it developed since then?
We've been growing year by year, but I think the maximum growth we've been was probably in 2017-18. We've been breaking our own internal records in terms of the value of projects, so the size of the projects, types of projects as well. And also with the staffing. But obviously, the last 2 years, 2020, 2021, were very exceptional years for many around the world, including ourselves. So, and plus with technology nowadays, is that it makes things easier to work. So, I would say in terms of manpower, that was the main challenge to maintain the manpower we had and the resources we had in the last 2 years. But overall, I think we're in consistent growth and we're okay. We're still here. We're still working. We're still getting jobs. So perfect.
Well, I wanted to also ask, I will definitely talk about some of the amazing projects that that your company works on and works with. But I wanted to ask, what are some of the clients that you work with predominantly? Do you find that there's a category or grouping that comes up often, or is it very varied?
I would say the past 5-7 years was probably corporates and the public sector or the government. But we are open to the private sector in general and individuals. The doors are always open. So the way the company is structured, it is open for everybody. So it really doesn't matter. We don't pick and choose our clients. We try to help people as much as we can with our services.
No, I think that's incredible. And it comes through, I think, with a lot of the projects that you've worked on. I wanted to also ask, now that your company and a lot of companies have come out of this, this sort of COVID period and they're maybe coming back to normal somewhat, how do you see now the future of the company growing and developing?
Well, we're definitely investing in IT, that's for sure. I think the most challenging part, and what I take from COVID was it taught us how to use technology into a different sense, into a different level. Before it was you have to physically come to the office, obviously, and now people are working from home. There's new softwares where it makes it easier, faster, and not time consuming. So we're definitely looking into that aspect. In terms of how we're working with our resources, we will continue with what we're doing at the moment, maintaining our staff. We've got people working in our company since 1984. So we try to maintain our team for as long as possible. We always look for a long-term, relationship between ourselves, the team, our clients. And it's a matter of consistency and catching up with the game in technology.
Definitely. And I think the consistency is definitely, you've proven that by being in the business so long, and I'm sure that's just the key to the future development. I was wondering if we could switch to talking some about some of your amazing projects. And before I sort of bring up some of my favorites that I've seen on your website, I was wondering, are there any of yours which are your favorites that you've worked on?
Oh, my favorite one. My favorite one is probably the most challenging and the most difficult project I've worked on. It was a water desalination plant in Barka. So it was phase one and phase two. We were working under two different companies. We were the consultant of the EPC contractors, Abianza Bengo, which was a Spanish firm, Osmoflow, which is an Australian firm. And it was basically the time constraint on designing and building a complete water desalination plant within 15 months.
Wow. And
that was the challenging part of my career, to be honest. It was constant work. You're working 24/7. There was no weekends. We'll be at site middle of the night, during Eid, during public holidays, just making sure things are working out well. And we managed. We had a fantastic team. The contractor was amazing as well. The APC contractors were all excellent. And that was the best project.
And was it difficult partly because of the scale of it, or was it also the nature of a desalination plant as well?
It was both, because it was fairly new to me personally. Like the team over here, which I've got, they've worked on desal before. But for me personally, it was a first time type of project. I wasn't too sure. I was very hesitant, but then it brought up my confidence by 100%. I think actually 300%. So now I'm happy to do any project. I think these type of projects actually builds self-confidence, really, And it's not only yourself, it's also the team, it's the company, it's the shareholders, it's the partners. You know, it gives us an edge above our closest competitors. So, yeah, it was fun times.
And it must be a great feeling at the end of it to see the building. And I don't know if you'd ever get the chance to drive by it again. It's, you know, you feel...
Yeah. I did drive by, and it actually serves a large section of the cities over there between Sib and Barakah and Sana'a. So we're, you know, the government has been doing a great job in providing them with potable water. And I'm just honored to be part of that team who actually worked on that project.
Wow, that's incredible. I feel now somewhat bad raising another project that's not maybe as important, but the one that I saw as well, which was the Box Camp project on your website.
So that was the inspiration of that project was I took it from a restaurant in Bali, in one of the street food restaurants. It's basically the container, cargo containers. Instead of throwing it away, you know, how we can reuse them and modify them where we can make them into, you know, accommodation or any sort of use. And the idea was to have these containers in a beachfront where we help kite surfers in general, water sport activity. And it was in Al-Ashqara, if I'm not mistaken. And it was, this project is supposed to be a 100% self-sustaining project. So we were going all green. So it was all about sustainability. It hasn't been constructed yet. We finished the design, the feasibility study and everything back in 2019. But 2020, we had to stop a lot of the different projects. This is one of them, unfortunately. But we will be kickstarting this probably by end of this year. So it's supposed to be a self-sustaining project. We don't need electricity from the grid. We will just use water from, you know, the potable water from the government. Other than that, it's fully solar powered, and we're going to be using some wind turbines a little bit here and there just to generate some power for different equipment. But yeah, hopefully by end of this year, we'll start the construction.
Wow, that's incredible. And I maybe we'll talk about it later, but it does seem to be that green construction is an important area for future development and architecture.
It is. In different parts of the world, it's becoming a compulsory. In Oman, still, but it's not compulsory yet, but eventually it will be. I believe that. So some of the authorities of the government sector are really pushing for the sustainability, you know, LEED certification, BREEAM certification, and so on. And it just clearly shows that probably 5 to 10 years down the line, we'll definitely go green 100%.
Well, that's incredible. And I think it's great that projects like the one you're working on can pave the way for ideas. And
I hope.
Oh, I also wanted to ask you, there's so many different projects on your website, which are all interesting, but I noticed that there's a few mosques that are included on the projects that your company's worked on. And I was just wondering, how do these come about? And is there anything specifically challenging about designing and creating a mosque?
So the mosque in general, projects like the mosque actually falls under, in Oman, it falls under our CSR project. So it's part of our responsibility towards society. Now, there are corporates who want to build mosques, and you have certain individuals who want to build mosques. Now, in general, mosques are, you know, they raise funds to build, to construct, and so on, generally. The most challenging part about building a mosque is meeting the exact budget, because as I said, it's all about donation, and there's a very a gray area on how much are you going to get from individuals or corporates and so on, and also the sizes of the mosque, and sometimes we have to sit down with certain individuals and explain to them, do you really require this size of the mosque. It's all about the occupancy, how many people are going to be there. You don't need a mosque for 1,000 people while you have only 500. That's a very challenging part. But with a few interesting mosques, one of them was in Al Muj. It was a fantastic, we were fortunate enough and lucky to work with Al Muj. Until today, we actually work with them. The mosque over there was one of a kind, I would say. It's a very contemporary mosque, not something you will find over here in Oman. And the main challenge is, and I think a lot of people who know me working in mosques, is the dome design. Every dome is different. And the type of material, the weight, the size, the diameter of the dome, the height of the dome, that's always a challenging part, because that's what actually makes your mosque. It's when you enter and the dome is there, it's that centerpiece of art. They're really nice projects to work on.
Oh, and I can imagine. I think, like you said, there must be core components that you have to include, obviously, and that have to stand out. But then there are so many issues of functionality and aesthetics as well.
Exactly.
I also noticed on your website, on the projects that you've listed, is that you have worked on the expansion of the Sultan School, which you mentioned was where you went to school. Has that been a major project and a rewarding one for you personally?
Sultan School is my second home. been there since 88. So our office has been working with Sultan School throughout the 90s. But while I was in school, I ended up working for the school. And at one point, I was a board member in the alumni committee as well.
Wow.
We've worked in many projects in Sultan School, actually, from the boarding house to the new cafeterias, the mosque, which is under construction at the moment, expansions of the labs, the classrooms, the libraries. And now Sultan School will always have a special part in my heart. Sultan School, they can, and everybody in the office knows, like, Sultan School, they come over to the office, they require something, straight away people will be more than happy to help them. Because I think the school did amazing job for the country. A lot of students who graduated from there are doing just great in many different fields. And I am where I am today, other than my parents, is because of the school as well. So I have to, pay my respects and pay them back one way or the other.
No, that's amazing. It must be, maybe for some people, it's really special to be in that position where you can contribute back to the school, in your case, with physical structures and things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there anything that you've developed or added to Sultan School that you wished you had during your time? That was, you thought, oh, that was something I wish I had when I was there?
Everything which I've done so far.
Everything.
Let's put it that way, I'm not pinpointed. You get me in trouble.
No, sorry, of course. I won't press any further. So the one thing that I've tried to draw and that I've noticed on your website is that you have such a vast array of buildings and projects, whether it's educational or governmental, religious. I mean, there's no project that you can't work on and develop. And I'm just wondering, is there something at the root of all these large scale projects that is shared between them and that makes it possible for you to build and develop all of them? And are there any challenges in taking on these big projects?
The challenging factors. Every project has its own challenges, I must say. But then the way you have to think and tackle certain projects is, I think that's the most challenging, right? It's mentally, organizing yourself and making sure that you understand what is the requirements. The educational sector, you have a certain operator there. The hospitality, depending on the operator, and every operator is different. The requirements is different. So it's a constant flip of a hat where you're in a meeting talking about an industrial plant, and then half an hour later, you're talking about a 5-star hotel. That's like the most challenging part for me. It's very stressful. It's very it challenges you mentally more than physically. But and then throughout the years you get used to it, and it's just with a click of a button, and then bam, you completely switch the button, and you're talking about a different, totally different project. And it's I would say for me personally, I got used to it. A lot of newcomers probably did. They will face the same challenges and obstacles I used to face, but then eventually you get over it.
And I wanted to ask also, do you have a dream project that would be, you know, is there something that you envisage for the future that you would love to work on or to build in Oman?
Definitely do. It's not a certain project, to be honest, but I'd like to be in the Guinness Books of Record somehow on a certain type of project. I'm not sure. I'm yet to think about that. I think with the projects we have in Oman and the projects which are coming up, obviously everybody wants to be part of something. We all work, you know, to help the country grow faster and better. You know, up until that time, there's no certain project.
Oh, that's fair. And the only reason I ask is actually when I was drafting these questions and I was thinking what it would be like to be in your position, one building I thought which would be amazing for Oman would be to develop a national library. And I always have a fondness for libraries around the world. So that was one thing I popped into my head when I thought it.
Which a library is a fantastic thing, by the way. It's a fantastic project. There was a project over here which was built recently, completed and open. I'm sure you heard of it, the National Museum.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a fantastic, great project. And there's another museum which is coming up as well, Oman Abdel Zaman, Oman Across the Ages. It's still under construction. I think it's going to complete sometime this year, probably early next year. These are, you know, they're very prestigious projects. It's fantastic to get involved in. I'm not involved in any of the projects, but it's definitely if I ever get a chance to work in such a project. Now, where the library is concerned, depending what type of library, right? You've got the children's library. You've got the other libraries in the university, in Sultan Qaboos University. There's a fantastic library there. But what I'm looking for is a historical library. You know, it's really about history, about culture, about it's not your typical library. If you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I do. I mean, some of the libraries that I think of when I think of these, the national historical cultural sort of built into the bones of it. I think that would be
exactly.
I wanted to ask you some questions about Oman and architecture and design generally in terms of these cultural and historical and larger scale ideas. And I was wondering, as beginning, what do you think, or how do you think Oman manages to balance modernity and tradition in its buildings and designs?
Well, the authorities here, like the municipalities, they tend to ask you, or they tend to inform consultants and designers to maintain the traditional looks of the Omani facades. I understand there's a lot of people who might be a little bit conservative or against the idea. They want more of a contemporary design and so on. And the municipality were like, sure, you can have a contemporary design, but at least have a hint of tradition and culture. And I totally agree with that particular statement from municipality, because when you come to Oman and when you look at the buildings in general and many of the villas, there's a sense of continuity. There's a sense of, character. Unlike certain other places in the world where every building is totally different, there's no character whatsoever. And from from architect's point of view, you kind of get confused. You're like, what are they trying to, you know, what are they trying to prove here? And let's not forget, Oman is a very, you know, you're in the Middle East. It's a very sunny, hot area. And having all of that glass and, you know, that contemporary design is nice, it's good, but, it, you know, you're not saving much energy there. That's one way of looking at it. And my, in my opinion, I think the contemporary design gets old faster than the traditional one. The traditional one, you know, it can stay for years and years and you can still appreciate and enjoy it. A lot of people think that contemporary design, the modern designs are easy and, you know, it's just a bunch of glass and open areas and stuff, but it's not. It's not. It's like you really have to work really hard and build a character in that contemporary design where you want that particular building or design or facade to last for at least 100, 200 years. And so far, it's been very difficult for a lot of architects. So I think what the government is doing here, it's a balance in between the both. You want to do contemporary, but you have to put a hint of the Romani tradition and culture there. So it's a mix and match, and all you have to do is also play around with the materials you're going to use. And you know, a lot of people nowadays, the younger generation, are also using you know, more natural materials, locally, you know, produced. So, which is a great thing.
And so, from what you're saying, was there a push from some architects to go more modern, and the government pushes more for conservatism, or is there just factions within architects?
See, it's a little bit of both, to be honest. You have architects who really want to go extreme. And also you have people from the authorities who want to be very extreme on their point of view. But towards end of the day, they still meet up, they sit down on the table and they discuss and they agree. And the end result is what we all hoped for. It's a balance between the two. Obviously, it's already 2022. We cannot design buildings based in 1980 or 1970 something. So, you know, with technology, with time, new ideas, innovative ideas. So it's all about it's mixing the two designs and making sure that you have designed a character which will last and give a really good impression to a lot of people.
Oh, definitely. And one of the things that seems to be pushed for the development of buildings and cities and large projects in Oman and I guess the wider Gulf is the move towards green and sustainable architecture. And as well, I feel also smart cities is also another, like the use of technology. And I was wondering if you think that's true. Correct. And in the case of Oman, housing.
It is. The Ministry of Housing and Urban Planning recently issued a tender out for the futuristic city in Masbat, where it has to go all smart, green, sustainable. It's currently in the tender process. We were one of the companies who actually participated in the bid, hoping that we get it, or at least a section of it. But yeah, as I said earlier, we're going towards that path. There's no way back. We have to go and, you know, catch up with technology. We have to catch making sure that we're helping out the environment. You know, it's very important because it's not only for us, it's also for the future generation of this country.
Oh, definitely. I think one of the questions I wanted to ask you, which you might have touched upon earlier, is if you think there are any core differences between Omani engineering and architecture and those of the countries of the Gulf, even though they may have these shared characteristics of moving towards green and sustainable and smart cities. Is there anything unique in Oman's architecture and
So I would say the difference between Omani engineering architects and other Gulf countries is experience and exposure. Those are the two main differences. In terms of geography, I think Oman is a very challenging land to design in because you've got all sorts of terrains, you know, comparing to other countries in the GCC. You know, we've got the Rocky Mountains, the sand dunes, the wadis, the beach fronts, and other countries, some of them are just flat grounds, you know. And when it comes down to design, I think Unfortunately, Oman, we're a little bit slacking behind, but I think another three to four years, we're definitely catch up with the rest of the team and making sure that we'll probably be number one eventually. We're heading there. Time is changing, you know, and His Majesty is really pushing for the younger generation to come out there and give their ideas, their designs. And actually, his son, His Highness Bel Arab, just recently launched the architectural award of Bel Arab Bin Haytham, where younger Omanis, they come up with concept designs of various projects. It doesn't have to be a building. It can be a sculpture. It can be anything part of a building or roads. And basically, it's... It's a first step towards innovative designs, and it's part of the 2040 vision of Oman and His Majesty personally. You know, we have certain goals we have to achieve. It's not like by choice we have to do it, because that's the only way to go forward.
And speaking actually of the young people of Oman, would you, speaking to someone who's maybe interested in getting into architecture and engineering in the way that you have, do you have any advice for them? Or what would you say to someone maybe who's coming through Sultan School right now, who's thinking of following in your footsteps?
Keep an open mind. You definitely have to have patience. There's no shortcuts to any of this. You face a lot of challenges, a lot of ups and downs, but eventually with hard work and determination, you definitely get there. You will definitely get what you want. It's just a matter of hard work. Never give up. Always, look for solutions. Look for, innovative solutions. Not your typical standard solutions. Always come up with new ideas. Read more. Explore. Hang out with people who have experience and exposure in different types of projects. And the most important thing is pay attention to the way they think and the way you think. And maybe they're saying something which is correct and totally thought it was wrong, and vice versa. You never know. And I've learned all of this, not only through university and school, but also in different meetings with clients or friends or family friends who have experience in this field. And I was just paying attention to the way they think, the way they work. And it's just adapting all of that into one. And you have to mold it in a way where it works perfectly well for you. Because it might work perfectly well for me, but not for somebody else. So, yeah, you have to have patience.
Oh, I think open-minded and patience, that's, I think, great universal advice as well.
You'll be in a lot of pressure, I must say.
But I'm sure it's worth it at the end of the day.
It is. James, the best part of this job is when you complete a project, also if it was a villa, and you see a family moving in and they're happy. It's a feeling inside you. It cannot be explained. It's like, our whole family is just there. They're just happy to be there. Their kids are happy, and you know that they're going to be staying in that villa or that or the apartment or whatever for the next X amount of years. And, it just brings that self-satisfaction to me. I don't know about the rest.
No, I think that's a great sentiment to end on.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure. We're always here. And considering, especially after COVID, now everything is online, so the meetings are never ending.
No, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and to speak to the Anglo Mining Society about your work. And I'm sure we'll keep in touch and try and follow up with everything that you and your company are doing. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the society, please head to ao-soc.org, and we look forward to welcoming you next week.